I'm Lance Carter from Daily Actor, and today I'm talking with Sweet D herself, Caitlin Olsen from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Sunny is one of my favorite shows, and if you've been watching it this year, you know that the 7-year-old comedy is showing no signs of aging. Caitlin got her start with The Groundlings, and she told me that she absolutely uses that training all the time. I think it's really important on our show to have either a natural improvising ability or an improv background, she told me. In this Q&A, Caitlin talks about the show and her sometimes specific line delivery, the evolution of Sweet D, and how she's currently updating her demo reel. I really do appreciate it when you support the advertisers. Every little click does help. It's how this website stays alive. And now, here's Caitlin.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, Lance.
Hey, you got your start at the Groundlings. Is that training something that you use every day when you're working?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I say this all the time, but the scripts come to me really, really funny, and they work really hard on them, so I think it belittles it a little bit when we talk about how much improvising we do. So I just want to be really clear that, like, they just work so hard on the scripts, and they're so funny when we get them. But it keeps it fresh to be able to show up and play around with the dialogue, and I think it's really important on our show to have either a natural improvising ability or an improv background, because we do a couple of takes as scripted and then we just totally play around, and it's really important to stay open and listen to what the other person is saying so that you can respond to it rather than just everyone jumping on top of each other and trying to get something funny in, because that might feel funny at the time, but that does not end up working on TV because you can't hear what anyone's saying. So I would say that the Groundlings background comes in real handy in this particular show.
And also earlier you said that you were updating your reel. Do you really still have to do that? Like, everybody doesn't know who the heck you are.
Thank you for saying that. The funny thing is I haven't done it in like 7 years, and it's all digital, it's all online. So I was curious and I asked to see it the other day. They're just like adding new scenes every time a new episode comes out or a new thing I do comes out. So it's like 40 minutes long. And I was like, no one wants to watch someone's 40 minute reel. I don't care how good it is. So I just was tweaking it. Thank you for asking.
Gotcha.
They should know who I am. I should not have to have a reel.
Damn it.
You're the best. I love your question so far.
It seems like there's a little bit more physical comedy this year than in previous years. What's one, do you feel like that's an accurate representation of reality, or is it just that I don't remember the other ones? And two, if that's the case, what's driving that?
I don't know. I seem to remember only because I'm sort of updating my reel at this point. I'm noticing all the ridiculous physical things I've been doing over the past 7 seasons, like slamming my head into a car door and all that stuff. But
that doesn't count.
That doesn't count? That was me.
I'm kidding.
That better count. That hurt.
Sure.
I needed a lot of chiropractic after that. I definitely think those are the things that. So that's one thing that really makes us laugh, and that we all, it's just kind of our sense of humor, like big physical stuff, so it doesn't surprise me that there's more and more of it. Like the inflatable dancing guy. I can't speak for anyone else, but everyone's always making fun of me in real life, like how long my limbs are and things like that, and so all that stuff kind of gets translated into the show. Yeah, I can see that there's definitely a lot more physical stuff. They also think it's really funny when I hurt myself. I think anytime I'm getting hurt or you're seeing my body do ridiculous things, they're laughing, and so they write more of it.
Do you feel like, is there no, like, dark corner that you guys won't go to?
Well, I don't think we've found it yet, for sure. If there is one, we are still looking for it. You know, I think there is a way to approach any subject that can either make it intolerable or that can make it funny. So, you know, we certainly weren't saying that we think that babies dying are funny, but, you know, we spun it so that it does the same classic thing that our characters always do, which is make, you know, make it about ourselves and do whatever we need to do to get ahead. And that's funny to us. So I guess,
I wanted to ask about the character of Sweet D. Like, has she, you know, can you tell us any kind of evolving she did from when she was conceived, New York cast, up to how she is today?
Yeah, definitely. I think when I came on board, we didn't really know each other that well, and so those guys were writing a show for themselves, and they wanted a female character. And, you know, they definitely wanted to bring in somebody who was going to be able to hold her own, the character, in terms of being a part of the gang. But they didn't really, and they said to me, like, we don't really know how to write for a woman. And I said, well, please don't think about it in terms of writing for a woman, because what you're writing for yourselves is really funny, and that's what I want to do. So just write what you think is funny, and I'll bring the female aspect to it. So in the first few episodes, I think we were kind of finding our groove, and I was just sort of the female sidekick, and the one that was a little bit more the voice of reason, and they were doing things that were insane. And then the more they got to know me personally, and sort of different sensibilities I had, and different comedic stuff that I liked to do, they started writing more for me and giving me bigger storylines and more ridiculous characteristics, and that was more fun for me, and I was having more fun doing it, so I think I was, you know, doing a better job of it, and it sort of has evolved in that way, so that now I feel like we're all pretty equal, and everyone has their own, every character has their own selfish qualities, but I think they're all just as ridiculous, which is so much more fun to play than the voice of reason or the girl, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and then we just brought Frank on and sort of topped it all off. So, yeah, I think I consider us a little bit more equal now, and all the characters are more defined, whereas in the very beginning, I think that they hadn't quite figured out who this girl was and how to incorporate her into the gang. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, very much so. I think you definitely do. One of my favorite points of humor are when they just totally dismiss you while you're standing there.
Yes, I love it. It's hilarious. The one thing I loved this season, too, in the Frank's Little Beauties episode is where we're all standing in the back office and I'm talking about how I used to do pageants, and Frank is saying how ugly I was and ridiculous, but I would really try and put on a lot of makeup, and I take that as a compliment. I just loved that moment of them having me be like, well, thanks, Frank. Like, for some reason, like, that's the nicest thing I get out of these people, is that I tried hard and put on a lot of makeup or whatever it was. I love moments like that. Or they're completely making fun of me, and because normally I think my character is really upset by it, but I love it when it's just like, it's so normal to me that I don't even really hear it anymore.
Now, you're married to Rob. How involved are you with the creative process?
I am not at all involved in the creative process. Everyone asks me if I've ever wanted to write an episode, and the truth is, in the very beginning, I had some interest because I thought it would be fun, and I don't have a writing background. I have a lot of writing sketch comedy background because I did The Groundlings. But writing episodics, not my strong point, and I think that they do such a great job that there's no reason that I would want to jump in and try and fix something that's not broken at all. But, you know, that being said, when they're breaking stories, he's always coming home and telling me about it, and I'm laughing and giving my opinion on stuff. So, I don't know, I stand back and wait to get the scripts, and then I kind of just tweak my stuff a little bit.
Something that I really love about what you do on the show is your delivery and your intonation and your voice when you deliver, especially swear lines. Is that something that is kind of written in the script, the exact way that D says the lines?
That's so nice.
Or is it something that, like, you brought and kind of, like, honed and developed over the years, as far as, like, this is how she would say it?
Yeah, no, they don't write any direction in at all. It's all just dialogue, so we kind of just do our own thing with it. I just found that I was swearing so much that I wanted to keep it interesting and not boring. And, you know, I've said this a lot in the past, too. Like, I don't think that what we're doing, even though our show is shocking sometimes, we're not ever looking for shock value, because that's not funny to me. So I wouldn't want to just swear just to swear, so I think I'm just trying to keep the swearing funny as well and kind of do something interesting with it, so that it's not just swearing for the sake of swearing.
Because what you and what Charlie does at times when he kind of like peaks up his voice.
He gets real squeaky.
Yeah.
I appreciate that, and I appreciate you noticing. Definitely, like I said, I just, you know, if you just say "God damn it" over and over and over and over, either people aren't going to hear it anymore, or it's going to start to get annoying, or it's going to start to get offensive. So might as well do something fun with it.
I was just wondering, because the core cast of Sunny are all so reprehensible, it's kind of like Seinfeld taken to the ultimate level. And since no one ever really thinks of themselves as being reprehensible, how do you find your way into Sweet D, and what is it about her that keeps the character fresh for you?
Well, I think it's just that. I think that you're exactly right. She doesn't see herself as reprehensible. She thinks that she's a lovely person who just hasn't been given opportunities in life. And the reason that I love her, sort of the character I've ended up turning her into, is that she's just so insecure. And she, ultimately, I think she's just desperately trying to get these guys to acknowledge her as part of their group. And that's so sad to me and so funny. And it just disarms her a little bit. So I think there's something about that that forgives all of the despicable acts, because she's just so clueless and needy and just wants to fit in ultimately, and I think that that's kind of at the root of most people. So as far as getting into that, I don't know, I find something very endearing and funny about desperate and insecure people, I guess.
Thanks, Caitlin, and thank you guys for listening. Keep coming back to Daily Actor for more great interviews, news from film, TV, and theater, and so much more. Thank you again for supporting the advertisers. I'm Lance, and I'll talk to you soon.